Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is The Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Thanks for being here this morning. This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Getting you caught up on the headlines before you head out. The World Series is tied 2-2. Blue Jays won 6-2 last night in Game 4. Game 5 is tonight. The NCAA is delaying the rule change, allowing college athletes to bet on pro sports after Greg Sankey said the SEC is not on board with this. Hawks play tonight in Brooklyn. You can hear it right here on 92.9 The Game. Pre-game kicks off at 7:30. And the Saints will be starting rookie quarterback Tyler Shuck over Spencer Rattler when they face the Rams this week. We'll get into that at 7:20. But the Falcons play the Patriots this weekend on the road. Pre-game with Mike and Bo kicks off at 11 on 92.9 The Game. Kickoff is 1 with Wes and Arch. And we started this conversation earlier, a little bit earlier, about the Falcons defense, Patriots offense this Sunday. I am curious to ask you guys about Divine Diablo's absence. We heard Raheem talk about how they had a plan and it didn't quite work. Let's revisit that audio.
So JD was able to get some of the stuff went out there in our two linebacker defenses, and then we were able to go out there and have some dime approach. We had only one snap of it because it wasn't that type of game. When we had to go out there and put Jesse down in the box, I think it only happened once yesterday because they didn't really go for it on third down and longs. So they ran the football. And the other approach was to get Ronnie out there and the 15 snaps that he played for us, going out there, being in place of the field to take some of that pressure off him with that speed and things of that nature. So all of those things kind of happened, just didn't happen enough. Everything kind of got out of whack, just like our run game, just like our defense, just like everything else that kind of got out of whack yesterday. So the committee approach didn't come to life like you wanted it to yesterday.
Obviously, Divine's still dealing with a fracture, so he's not going to be back. Where do you pivot now? What do you do to create a plan for this?
Well, you figure out who you can put in the middle in place of JD that can help you in the run fits, because the reason you couldn't play Jesse in the dime linebacker spot like he's talked about, was because they gashed you on first down. They call third down the money down. I remember Jeff Collins came here and he made this whole big deal about the money down, and they did their little money sign and they had this poster board up. I feel like the money down's first down, because it dictates the next two downs if you think you're getting to third down, right? What you do on first down dictates directly how second down plays out. And they were getting 5, 6, 7, 8 yards on first down. They're having success. And it turns out, on the flip side, offensively, you weren't having success on first down. So it was now dictating in a negative way how you did stuff.
Yeah.
But you're gonna have to find out, you're gonna have to figure out if you think Ronnie Harrison or Josh Woods can step in and play on the early downs, that linebacker spot, when it's a run situation.
Yeah, I think you're spot on about that. I thought Ronnie Harrison, when I went back and watched tape, he didn't play bad, but he is a safety, and I think that what you hear, when I hear Raheem talk about it, I hear him say, well, we expected him to be in a lot lighter personnel, 10, 11 personnel, and they ended up going like jumbo tight end and just running it down our throat. I think that, like, that's what I hear. Like, well, you know, we thought that they would try to be a little bit more finesse, and instead they were just like, hey, we're going to come right at you. So we didn't feel like it was fair to put a guy who used to play safety down in the box and ask him to step up in the A-gap and, you know, blow up run plays. And Josh Woods maybe fits that a little bit more. But, yeah, I'm with you, man. I think anything other than J.D. Bertrand at this point makes more sense than putting him back out there in that role.
Is the equalizer for being small playing fast? I kind of know the answer a little bit because I don't 100% believe it. But for Ronnie Harrison, if football IQ wise, he can play instinctual football, right? And just be really quick. And does that kind of an equalizer for being a little bit undersized because if you're slow and undersized in the middle, it's a long day for you and the team.
Well, I think that it can be, but follow me here. I think the kind of the meat in the middle of that sandwich is that you have to be instinctual, right? If you're going to be a small linebacker, you got to be instinctual and be able to diagnose the play very, very quickly. That's kind of where it comes along with Ronnie Harrison, is like, how long has he played linebacker and how instinctual can he be? If you're going to be one of those linebackers that's smaller and instead of taking on blocks, ducks under blocks and understands angles and how to get your arms on, like, you know, the legs of the running back, then you can do that. And that's one of the ways you can go about being a smaller linebacker. But if he's never played it, then all of a sudden that becomes a little bit more difficult, where all of a sudden maybe he's not diagnosing the tight end or a deuce block quick enough, or playing over the top or playing underneath. And that becomes an issue. And I'll follow that up by saying, I don't think for 1 minute he still weighs 214. I think he's bigger than that. I kept watching the tape going, I don't know if that was like his draft profile. Like, maybe that's what he was coming out. But he's definitely thicker than 213, 214 at this point.
I also think you got to be careful running under blocks and kind of around them, because that we saw that last year a little bit in our run defense with Nate Landman and Caden when Troy Anderson went out.
Yeah.
And then all that did was leave gaping holes because you were trying to run around. And sometimes you have to eat the block to muddy it up for your second level guys to get there.
Yeah, I think you do. But I think if you're going to do that, it has to be within like 2 yards of the line of scrimmage. Like, you have to have sideboards either way with like the defensive tackles that are still engaged. If you're like J.D. Bertrand and you're trying to take on the block and it's at, you know, it's 5 yards away from the line of scrimmage, there's holes either way. You know what I mean? Like, the running back at that point is already past the line of scrimmage. He's just going to run right around you. So if you haven't diagnosed it quick enough and all of a sudden one of these guards is up on you trying to engage with you, yeah, I'd probably jump around it. I might as well take a risk at that point, because you're not going to win against, what was that left guard from them, 325 for Miami last week? There was no chance he was ever going to win that.
You know, we can sit here and talk. Like, they're not perfect. Like, they have a few flaws. Although I will say, the second and third quarter for the second and third quarter for the Patriots offensively, they're outscoring their opponents 125-60. Okay, that's the middle of the game, and you know that's a pretty big deal. That's 2-1. They also have allowed, they're 30th in the league in sacks allowed. Now, Myles Garrett had 5 last week, so that number is probably a little bit jacked up.
He's so good.
We don't
dude.
Have Myles Garrett.
He's so good.
I don't know if you guys know that. We do not have Myles Garrett. He does not play for the Falcons. So I wouldn't expect one player to hit 5 sacks. But Drake May is still young. And if you can create some interior pressure, the pocket can cave on him and he'll hold that ball for maybe a tick, and you might be able to get home.
Yeah, I'm with you. I watched Drake May. Obviously, we've been watching the tape, and Drake May has one where he just throws right across the middle, right into a linebacker's hands, and it goes back the other way.
Yeah, so that's that kid from Cleveland, the Schellinger or something. He's actually a really good player.
Dude,
too.
That was unbelievable.
He's a very good player. Yeah, but I saw that too, and I was like, oh, I wonder, maybe he'll do that for us.
That'd be nice.
Well, we did see the Falcons' defense was ready for Josh Allen a few weeks ago. Raheem talked to the press about how they got to prepare for Drake in a similar way.
He plays very similar to how we did when we came to Buffalo a couple of weeks ago. You know, that kind of guy. You know, they can move around. They're very big. They're fast. They're mobile. So you got to prepare those guys the same way you did. You got to treat those guys very similar. Very similar styles. Very similar styles of play. And both very good, in my opinion.
I know you've been writing it down, but how many rushing yards Drake May have this year?
250. He's second on the team in rushing.
Yeah.
So you know, Ramondre Stevenson has 279. Drake May has 250.
Yeah, I figured it was something in that ballpark because I've looked at the last 2 weeks of film, and he's had over 50 yards rushing. And it's not by accident. I mean, he is an athletic kid. He's doing a lot of good things. Matter of fact, somebody asked me yesterday if there was a comp for Ty Simpson in the NFL, and I was like, the only one I can think of is Drake May right now.
That's good. That's
he's
good.
Mobile.
That's really good.
Throws
yeah,
with
I like
accuracy
that.
On the run. And it just it's the way he's operating right now, Drake May, at such a high level. And then you add that in, which actually we were pretty good with the plus one quarterback runs. When you add Washington and Josh Allen in back to back weeks like that, like it wasn't
we
bad.
We were, but we don't have that team anymore.
I know.
I don't know. I can't sit here and tell you how much of that was Divine Diablo. I don't think it was all. But also how much of that was Jalen Walker, and I don't know when he's returning. Like you desperately need Jalen Walker to come back and Zach Harrison to come back. You desperately need them.
You desperately need Zach. I would make the argument, and you know that I've been on this train for 2 years now. I would make the argument you miss Zach Harrison more than you do Divine Diablo.
I would tell you that. I don't know about that. I'm gonna talk out of both sides of my mouth. I don't know about that because I think Divine Diablo completely changes how teams attack you not having him. But I can sit here and make an argument that Zach Harrison has been your most valuable player in the front seven. Now, I am talking completely out of both, but I think they both can be true. Because Zach Harrison not only leads the team in sacks, but he's up there in tackles for – he might lead the team in tackles for loss as well. And he's been phenomenal. But he doesn't lead the team, but he's up there. Caden actually does. But he's up there, and he's making a difference. But then again, the way that with Bertrand in there – or with – I mean, that's not fair. With anybody but Diablo in there that we've seen so far try to fill that void – how teams attack you has vastly changed.
Yeah. I don't think it got to the point of watching the film Miami, and I was like, if we'd have just simply put somebody else out there and they couldn't look for J.D. Bertrand, we might have thrown him for a loop. You know what I mean? Because it was clear that every time that they came out there, Tua was looking to see where he was, and even if it wasn't like a one-on-one matchup, he was attacking him with his eyes.
One thing that Arch and I talked about, and I think he said it yesterday too on Dukes and Bell, is they took Tua's decision-making away from him last week. Everything was one read, quick stuff. They basically said, hey, you don't get to make decisions this week. Throw where we tell it to you. And it absolutely worked.
I think it's always been like that for Tua and Mike McDaniel. I think they've tried to always do that. I think sometimes it's backfired on them. But
well, we're going to continue to weigh out what the Falcons are facing this weekend. But this Saturday, I want to remind you from noon to 2, you can join me at Lou Saab Kia Incoming as we get ready for Sunday's big game. Someone's going to walk away with the ultimate tailgate kit. It's a 50-inch 4K smart TV with a rolling stand, other prizes. I also got word that Lou Saab is going to be giving away a 75-inch TV to qualify
there.
For that. You have to test drive a car. Dylan, two birds, one stone here.
Find one that I fit in, and I'm going to take it. Okay.
And then another winner will take home tickets to an upcoming Falcons game. Again, it's this Saturday, noon to 2, at Lou Saab Kia Incoming with me in Sports Radio 92.9. The game coming up. The rookie is in for the Saints. How is that going to work for them? We'll talk about it when we go in the huddle next on Sports Radio 92.9. The game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
He's, I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass. If you want to get your Thanksgiving week started on a great note, do it for, you can play some golf for a great cause. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game's third annual Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic presented by Finley Roofing is coming up on Monday, November 24th at Eagle Watch Golf Club in Woodstock. Now is your chance to sign up. Go to 929thegame.com. Click the events link, but do it now because foursomes are going quickly.
Foursomes.
It's the third annual.
It makes my day. I don't know. I'm such a child.
The third annual Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic benefiting Pets for Vets November 24th. Look, we've been talking about the Patriots all morning because obviously the Falcons are playing them this weekend. They've got some headlines of their own. They traded away two former defensive starters, sending Keon White to San Francisco and Kyle Duggar to the Steelers. And then Marcus Jones also agreed to a contract extension, 3 years, $36 million.
The Keon White deal, like if you're going to get traded, that's not a bad trade. If you're Keon White, like obviously you don't want to be traded, and it's not New England. New England's a very good team. But you're going to a situation where you are desperately needed and on a team that, if given the right circumstances, can make a run with you in the fold. We talked about the injuries they've had at the edge spot and Yetur Gross-Matos, obviously, last week and everything else that's going on with them. If I'm Keon White, I'm like, all right, man, bet. Like, I don't want to leave y'all, but there's way worse places to go. That's for sure.
And maybe a spot that fits him better, too. I mean, maybe the way Salah wants to use him might fit him better. So it's a chance for him, an opportunity. He's a little bit buried there. I mean, he's behind Lane. If you look at the way they kind of line up with Chaisson and Landry and Jennings, you just see the video of Chaisson talking with the fake trash, talking with Tennessee fans and like before the game, and they were like, "You're not going to do anything, you suck," you know, all this stuff. And then he gets a sack and he points towards the crowd, but then he gets like the I think it was an interception or a fumble recovery or something, and runs it in, and he like goes straight to the section
he
was in, and he was like,
"I respect it."
Basically, like, yeah, like. You know,
did he play there?
What?
Clavon Chaisson, he played in Tennessee? Or was that somebody else I'm thinking of?
No, Harold Landry, so you're thinking of.
And Arden Key's there too. They're kind of similar as well. So,
but yeah. Harold Landry played at Tennessee, now plays for New England. That's what I meant. But yeah, Arden Key's, so you're thinking of.
Yeah, possibly. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's just part of me that looks at these trades, and I'm going to try not to go down this road, but I just get a little bit jealous because I'm like, the rich get richer, really. Y'all got a good squad. Y'all are still building towards that Drake May window right now. Y'all can look towards the future as you're good right now, and then you can just start trading people away and getting picks. Like, how does that work? How is that legal? Can we do that?
I'm such a jerk. I just realized they got Jalen Hawkins and Richie Grant at free safety.
Oh, dude.
And Kyle Duggar's gone. Can we not exploit that somehow? Like, I mean, I'm just
from
saying.
From what I've seen of Jalen Hawkins, he's had a pretty good year.
I
haven't seen much of Richie.
I'm glad he decided to have one.
Sometimes it's the fit, man. We talk about it all the time with quarterbacks. It can be true for safeties, too. Sometimes a little maturity, a little fit, a little head coaching goes a long ways, baby. Like, he's plugged in.
So the Saints will be starting rookie QB Tyler Shuck over Spencer Rattler when they face the Rams this week.
I don't know what to make of this entire situation because I think when you look at, obviously, the head coach and what he's been able to do with quarterbacks in the past, what was Jalen Hurts? Second rounder?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
he was. What was Dak Prescott?
He was a third, I believe.
So he feels like he can make magic with guys like this. You know what I mean? Which is why they were like, hey, we can get a second rounder.
I mean, Dak Prescott is just different, and I think Dak Prescott was – I think Dan Mullen should get a lot of credit for Dak Prescott's development. And as far as, you know, helping him grow and to play the game on both sides. Because remember, Dak Prescott, in college, I think a lot of people thought he was like Tim Tebow-esque as far as running quarterback.
Yeah.
But Dan Mullen helped him in this passing game. Unless Kellen Moore has Saquon Barkley and A.J. Brown and the Eagles' offensive line.
Yeah, that's yeah.
My point is I know what you're saying, and I don't disagree with his thought process, but that's just like Josh McDaniels earlier, what he wanted to run in Denver.
Yeah.
He went to Denver, drive to Tim Tebow, and was like, well, I had Tom Brady. You had Tom Brady, all right? Tom Brady had you. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't.
Yeah, that's kind of my point with this whole thing with, like, Tyler Shuck or Spencer Rattler. I'm like, is that really – I guess the best thing is that you found out what you have in Spencer Rattler, and now you're approaching not the midway point of the year, but we're getting close.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you're right there.
This middle stretch. And now you can find out what you have in Tyler Shuck. And I guess the upside is you didn't get a first-round pick. You didn't waste a first-round pick or whatever on Tyler Shuck, and so you can kind of figure that out. But I just feel like they're going to fall into this cycle where it's like, well, he's not the guy either. Oh, let's go draft a first-rounder, and maybe they have the number one overall pick next year.
You know who would fit there really well with him? What quarterback in college football would fit with Kellen Moore really good right now?
I hope you're not going to say Ty Simpson.
It's the only person I can think of.
Yeah, no thanks.
I mean, Ty Simpson is the best quarterback in college football right now. It's not close. I'm telling you, he is playing.
That would make me sick.
Oh, it would absolutely.
I can't. You know what? You know who else fits really good there? Gunnar Stockton. That would fit. That would be really nice. Right?
I thought you were going to say
Gunnar Stockton fits great.
You were going to say Diego Pavia.
There you go. Yeah, Gunnar Stockton would be great in New Orleans.
So would Haynes King, apparently.
Yeah. Gunnar Stockton's not getting near enough credit. I'm going to start the Heisman train right now.
I mean, Haynes King wears similar colors now. I mean, you know, the kind of the gold going on. So, yeah, why not? Man.
Yeah, no thanks.
I threw up in my mouth, though, and I did say the Tyrell Simpson thing. I threw up a little bit in my mouth.
Yeah, I don't need those problems, man.
Yeah.
Okay. So I saw this. I thought it was pretty interesting. Lamar Jackson had an interesting request for the equipment staff. Take a listen.
I told Kaneko I had equipment. I told him to take all the games, ping pong, turn the TVs off. If we could have took the TVs out, it would have been out too. But I appreciate Mr. Steve for putting that in there for us. You know, but yeah, we had to focus. I wouldn't say people don't take the job serious. Don't get me wrong, but like. I didn't feel like it was the time for that. You know, we got a lot of work.
Dude, I just love this guy. I freaking love this guy. Hey, I appreciate Mr. Steve for putting it in. You mean the owner of the team? I mean, I'm just picturing Michael Penix being like, appreciate Mr. Arthur, you know, for putting TVs in there. I love this. I mean, granted, I think that in given situations, it's nice. It keeps players in the locker room engaged. It brings team camaraderie. But I think that, and he laid this out perfectly, they got a lot of work ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're going to make any type of run at all, they need to be focused. And that's, he decided to pull the play. I don't think it should be a forever thing, but I think right now it makes a lot of sense for that locker room.
I have no problem with it. I mean, he's Lamar Jackson is the best player on that team. He's also the leader of that team. So, you know, if he steps up and thinks that that's what they need from a group standpoint, who's going to challenge him?
Yeah.
And he's probably not wrong. I mean, they got to win now. They got to win with, you know, Snoop Huntley in there, Pro Bowl quarterback, and now Lamar will return tomorrow night. So, yeah, I don't. I mean, I don't get a ping pong table in my office, so I don't care if they
we
have one or not either.
Foosball out there, we don't
foosball.
Play.
Well, I don't think there's any balls in the foosball.
Oh, is that why?
I think we might be out.
But you could actually, you know, think about getting a ping pong table in your office.
You could do like a dartboard.
Oh, where the hell is it going to go? My office ain't very big to begin with. Yeah. I mean, I can make my desk the ping pong table and just move it to the middle.
Yeah, there you go. Like one of those table toppers that just folds out.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, we'll do that.
Yeah.
I would smoke y'all in ping pong.
No, you wouldn't, bro. You don't want this smoke, dog. I would dust you.
Do we have a little force coming back
there? Look at my eye right now? Yeah, you don't want this.
Nah, bro. Yeah, I would dust you, bro.
And that's why I dust you. That's why I don't have a ping pong table because I don't want you clowns in there playing all the time. So
that's all right. We'll put it somewhere else.
Coming up, we're going to dive into this NCAA delaying the rules when it comes to college athletes betting on pro sports. And it's also which one Wednesday, which Falcons do we need back on the field this weekend more, Michael Penix or Drake London? It's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan's behind the glass at 7:41.
I always know when Dylan is giving up on selecting music because we hear Sweet Home Alabama.
When he's had a busy morning.
Yeah, he's like, I don't really care what we play today. I'm just going to play whatever. That's when Sweet Home Alabama plays.
You would think that I would be like, yeah, dude, I'm just
telling
you, I'm just disconnected from this one. I don't know.
I haven't played it
in a while.
Well, you play it normally on Fridays when it's about to be Mike, going into Mic'd Up. And we did have a fill-in producer at one point when you were watching an Eagles game or something. And they through the talk back, we're like, Mike, I got your favorite song coming.
Yeah. I'm like, bro, how many times we got to cross this bridge? It's not my thing. It's not my thing.
How you doing, Garrett?
Big G.
This segment is presented by John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. Which One Wednesday is on deck, and we're going to get to the NCAA controversy. But I got to say, I saw a headline yesterday. I dismissed it, scrolled right on by, because I was like, this is fake. And then sure enough.
It was like The Onion.
Yeah, sure enough, then Mike Johnson sent it to our group chat, and it's real. Would you like to share what the headline was?
Yeah, I mean, I can do that. The escaped monkey story yesterday, if anybody didn't see this, there was a truck crash, and this truck was carrying basically monkeys that are being experimented with from Tulane University, and six of the monkeys were on board. I think three originally were on the loose, but then last I checked, there was still only one unaccounted for.
Mm-hmm.
But they were infected with COVID and herpes and hepatitis.
Yeah.
And they were like, just be on the lookout for this aggressive monkey. And I'm like, what kind of nightmare fuel is this? Just when you think you don't have to, monkey, you would be just like, oh, cool, it's a monkey. And then all of a sudden he sprints at you, and then you find out he's got a herpes.
I know. It starts out so nice. It's like monkeys are on the loose. They're about 40 pounds.
This cute monkey.
Oh, it's going to be
so
cute.
I hope it's okay.
Yeah, no.
I think they captured a couple of them. I think they had to neutralize a couple of them. And then, like I said, there's just one, I think, still out there that the researchers from Tulane are still looking for.
So if you're in the area, that area, and a random monkey comes up to you, you should probably use extreme caution.
What would you do? What would
I would
be
shoot
your,
it.
Well, I was going to say,
I don't know what else to do.
Point with.
I was going to say, what would be your method of trying to capture said
monkey? I'm not trying to capture. That monkey is.
I don't like have a cage or anything.
Only something bad is going to come from me trying to capture a monkey like that has all these diseases because, I'm not a monkey handler. I mean, I don't know. What am I going to do here?
I'm picturing you walking sprinkles. And this monkey is just looking at you from across the street, and you're going, oh, dude.
Oh, my
God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Have you ever been walking sprinkles or anything, and another dog comes up, and you got to pick her up and run away?
Oh, I'm sure.
Run away? No. I've picked her up before, but, normally she doesn't like dogs at all.
Yeah.
She's a human animal. She only likes humans. So another dog comes up normally, and she makes herself well hidden.
Yeah.
So,
dude, I gotta say this one thing. If there was if we found out there was that Bo got attacked by a monkey while he was walking, there is not. I would go to the area. I would knock on every door and try to find ring cameras. There is not an amount of money that I'm not paying to get the footage of Bo running away from a monkey. There's no cap.
I got attacked.
They can name their price.
what a goose or whatever one time. You know, like I was at a dude, so random. I was in Illinois in a podunk town. Mm-hmm. I mean, like dirt road town. And I was at the only hotel in the town at a buddy's wedding. And I was like, and that was when I actually ran because I was not 42 with bad knees. And I was like, I'm going to go running. And I started running this thing. It was a retention pond right there at the hotel. And this thing came after me.
Dude.
And I was like, I ran away from it. I mean, I was like, and so when I came back.
Like, what are you supposed to do with a goose?
I mean,
you know what I mean?
Well, if you can get it. Well, I don't know. I don't
go squiggy here, okay? I'm just saying, like, what are you supposed to do as far as off, defending yourself?
Well, you just get away. Honestly, the first thing is just get away from it.
Right. Because
most likely it's trying to defend something. It had, like, baby geese or whatever. But, I mean, you can get a hand around its neck. That's a skinny neck, man. It's, you know, I mean.
Oy. Ah.
Well, I got dark in a hurry.
Just tell, I mean, hey.
I was thinking I'd, like, try to kick it or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Gosh.
And now I'm looking at the size of Bo's hands, and I'm like,
Well, like I said, if you can get your hands. I didn't say I could. I told you I ran. I mean, that's what I did. I ran from it.
Goodness gracious.
Oh, man. Where did we get here? That monkey, man, God bless you. I good luck to you, man.
Hey, man, monkey, run.
Jasper County, Mississippi.
You're free.
No. Just don't try to find human, you know, friendship.
Yeah. Should we try to see if the monkey can talk? Should we, like, try to say no and see if it knows the word no? God. That's how
sign language?
No.
That's how it all started with Caesar.
What about herpes-laced COVID monkey makes you want to talk to it? Like, honestly.
See if it can talk.
Like,
might have been doing other experiments on info.
You get close enough to talk to that thing, you're coming away with a venereal disease. That's all I got to tell you.
Oh, yell at it.
Gosh.
Hey, can you talk? No. You know what I'm saying?
I can just see Dylan doing that, too. Hey, this seems like a nice monkey. I don't know what everybody's talking about. Hey. I love sign language.
Oh,
I
like,
love you.
Can you say no? Can you say herpes?
Oh, oh my God. I'm like, let's go.
All right. From one controversy to another real quick. We got to talk about the NCAA rules. They're changing so that college athletes could bet on professional sports. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, though, has spoken up saying the SEC is not on board. They say this is a step in the wrong direction. So does Pat Narduzzi. He's talking about the changes as well.
I'm not a gambler. I just don't understand it. You know, I'm not addicted to anything. I just don't think it's a great thing to teach our young people how to do. You know, it's hard enough in the compliance office of trying to get your guys not to gamble. You can gamble on a boxing match. You can gamble, you know, on horse races because it's not an NCAA sport. But who's gambling on horse races, really? I mean, unless you go to the horse track. But now, it's a thing on your phone and you can pick it up and you can get on an app and it's like, what are we doing? Like, and once you do it once and you win, you want to go do it again, it becomes an addiction. I just think it's not good.
Now, this was going to be effective November 1st. The board, after hearing from so many voices, has decided to delay it until November 22nd. They're going to talk about it a little bit more.
Hey, my biggest issue, my biggest issue has been since the start of this, is I think they're basically saying, we can't police it. And I think that's probably fair. The NCAA can't police anything. First and foremost, they can't police anything. So, yeah, Narduzzi, I like to bet the ponies every now and then. But don't worry about that, okay? I go watch a simulcast if need be.
Well, first off, I don't think you have to be addicted to like to gamble. Like, I like to, you know, throw some wagers out here and there, a little golf, a little, you know, other things, you know, throw some money on things, you know. But, like, that doesn't mean I'm addicted to it. So, Pat needs to maybe take a step back there. I mean, on that part, I don't – but everything else, you know, he's right about, and so is Greg Sankey. This is a colossal disaster, and it's only going to end bad, because all it's going to take is, you know, the one player that's like, and really just in any sport, basketball I think is the easiest, the point shave. All it's going to take is, you know, one guy that's not getting paid the millions. He's like, you know what? I bet Haynes King wouldn't score a touchdown today. I might miss this block.
Trip a guy in pregame warmups.
Boom. I mean, like,
leg sweep.
You know, I might miss this block. And just see what happens. And the reality is they can't police it. It's terrible. If you can't go through college without, and you're making good money without gambling, then, you know, I don't know. Maybe you do need to go to a gambling addiction place.
Yeah, I hear you, man. All right, let's do this thing.
What are you going to do, Michael Pete, when my waffle hands come after you?
Be like... And as a reminder, this day and every day is Mike Dubs brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style, one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. It's time for, wow, which one Wednesday?
Which one Wednesday? All right, guys, which coach's seat is hotter, Raheem Morris or Zach Robinson?
Got to be Zach. For me, it's Zach. If I thought that the playbook was deep enough that I just was worried about play calling, I would be on board with just ripping the cord right now and let's do this thing. Raheem has, I think he's gotten the defensive coordinator, the second round of defense coordinator, right, with Jeff Olbrich coming in here. I would like to see him have that option with getting the Zach Robinson replacement right. But at this point, I'm not sure anything helps midseason doing that.
Yeah, I'm not sure where this top-tier offensive coordinator just sitting around is right now. So I do think that you could probably bring in, you know, like last year, Dean Pease came out of retirement to help Baltimore's defense, and they turned it around with Dean Pease. You know, is there a guy like that out there that maybe Zach has a relationship with, or
Bobby Slowick?
Well, Slowick's on the team.
I know
he can't come in and help us in the middle of the season.
I just meant the offseason, but yes, I understand.
But I mean, I'm a midseason guy.
Yeah.
Like, is there somebody out there that could help him in a midseason?
No.
But I would say it's Zach, because I think Zach could lose his job before Raheem, because, you know, if they do another week, Raheem could say, all right, you're out, and I'm gonna help game plan more with, you know, TJ and Ken Zampese and these guys, and then see where we go. So.
Yeah. I'm with you. One more week, like we saw this past couple weeks. I think we're going there. So we'll see.
Which needs to be better this weekend? Run game on offense or run game on defense?
All right, I'll start, because I think it's easy for us to say run game on offense, but I don't think it's the right answer necessarily. You lost last week because you had the ball for 49 plays, not counting the one kneel down, which would make it 50.
Yeah.
You had 29 plays in the first three quarters, not counting the kneel down. You didn't have the ball because they controlled time possession for almost 16 minutes.
Yep.
They also kept you, because if you go 1-3 and out, you don't have a rhythm. Now you're off for another 10 minutes, basically. In other words, you need to be able to stop the run to give yourself more possessions, to give yourself more opportunities, to give yourself and your offense a chance to go 3-and-out and then turn around and get and sustain a drive if that's the way it is.
I completely agree with everything you're saying, and I'll add on top of that, if you're going to talk about havoc rate and forcing interceptions for Drake May, if that's the way that we're going to win, you have to do it in third and long, and you're not going to be in third and long if you can't stop the run. So there you go.
Which would you rather play in, an 18-inning baseball game that lasts almost 7 hours or an NFL game that lasts over 80 minutes in double overtime, which happened in 1971?
You've played, so...
That sounds like a very long game.
Yes.
I would go ahead and tell you that an 18-inning baseball game.
Yeah.
I mean, they play doubleheaders all the time in baseball, and
That's true.
A lot of times guys play, Matt Olson, play the both... All 18, an 80-minute football game.
Dude.
Because you know what would
happen?
There
is no amount of ice baths. There is no amount.
And don't forget, this is one of the reasons why they don't do it anymore, why they've cut down the overtime rules so much. Because imagine playing a Sunday night, or it's just a Sunday, a 4 o'clock game, 80 minutes, and turn around and playing Thursday. Mm. And then saying, we care about player safety. Or going to Germany and playing an 80-minute game, then coming home. And so, yeah, we care about player safety. Oh, you do? Yeah, tell me more.
Yeah.
One last one. You've had a minute to ponder. Which Falcon do we need back on the field this weekend more, Drake London or Michael Penix?
I think that, like Bo was talking about, it's easy to say the run game. I think it's easy to say Michael Penix, but I think the answer might be Drake London. I think that when you look at the way this offense operates, that Drake London is that guy who can make contested catches. I think with our offense, the way it is right now, the way it's designed, we need people to make contested catches. And so if Michael Penix is back and Drake London is not there, I'm not sure that there's much level of success more than we had last week. I think he's obviously better than Kirk Cousins at this point, but you need Drake London back in the fold for this offense if you're going to operate with any sort of consistency.
Yeah, it's I don't know how I can answer it better. I kind of pretty much agree with everything. I do want Penix back, but
first time I've ever heard that.
But Drake London clearly was a very big missing link. He is the tight end of this offense. You know, he is the most valuable receiver this team has had.
All right, one last fun one. Which one is the bigger Halloween flex? Giving out full-size candy bars or having the best decorated yard on the block?
Oh, full-size candy bars. You kidding me? Full-size candy bar guy is goated. Like, people are texting.
Go to this house.
Hey, have you been to 7249 Forest Road? Go get the freaking full-size Almond Joys.
Ew.
Almond Joys.
That's right, Mike. That's right, Mike.
That's
right. Stand on that. Stand on
that. Know the deal.
It's a decoration guy, because that's a lot of work. I mean, that's a lot of work. And you know, decoration guy is taking that crap down to put up Christmas decorations, because, you know, and my neighbor has never done anything, and his daughter's like 5 or 6 now. He's from South Africa. And so I enjoy the conversations. We sound like we were literally from completely different parts of the world when we talked to each other, Paulding County in South Africa. But he keeps adding something every day. Now he's got the Jaws shark out there. He's got like a 2-headed inflatable dragon, everything. It's pretty cool.
All right.
All right, coming up, we've got the wake-up call, 404-726-0929. What are you concerned about with the matchup with the Falcons and Patriots this weekend? Also, what Falcon do you want back on the field that was out last week? 404-726-0929. The wake-up call is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.